start off by giving you the Old Testament scriptures about Melchizedek. I want you to have that background before we get into Hebrews chapter 7. Now, here's the Old Testament background. Genesis 14, verses 17 through 20. Here's what it says. The king of Sodom went out to meet him at the Valley of Sheba, which is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. And then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands. And he, Abraham, gave Melchizedek tithe of all. And then one more place, only this place, and in Psalm 110, verse 4, And the Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And this verse, the order of Melchizedek, comes up in the book of Hebrews, I think it's about 9 times. Melchizedek is in Scripture about 11 times, 9 of them in the book of Hebrews. But only those two in the Old Testament. So, who was Melchizedek? He was a priest of the Most High God, the God of creation. And that's God's earliest title, the Most High God, God of creation. This indicates his supremacy and man's dependency. If he's the Most High God, then we are dependent upon him. It also talks about his sufficiency to meet man's needs. Now, this is something that I put together about 15 minutes ago. About an hour ago. I think this would be helpful for us to get a little background. So hang with me on this one. God's plan was that there be a ruler priest right from the beginning. In the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, he expected that he would be the ruler and he would also be the priest. So Adam and Eve had a ruler priest in God himself. Well, they failed. And so that ruler priest idea was passed on. And the head of the family was the ruler priest. Events of Job are probably the earliest record of God and man. Job. And it was in Job. Job, remember, he offered sacrifices. He was the head of his family. They did what he told them to do. He was in charge. He was the ruler. And he offered sacrifices. In fact, it's interesting. He says, Job offered sacrifices for his children. He said, maybe they have sinned and they don't know it. Or they didn't do anything about it. And he offered sacrifices for his children for that reason. So he was the ruler priest, offering sacrifices and being ruler over them. Later under the law, the kingdom of priests is what God intended for Israel. He said, I make you a kingdom of priests. There would be the kingdom priests. And the problem with that was, came the golden calf. And when they did the golden calf and worshiped that calf, he said, no, you cannot be a kingdom of priests any longer. One tribe will be the priests, and that's the tribe of Levi. So they were rulers and they were the priests. But Nebuchadnezzar took away the scepter, the rulership. So when he came and took away Israel and sacked Jerusalem, there was no longer any rulership in Israel. They didn't rule themselves. Nebuchadnezzar ruled over them, both in the land and in his own land. Then came that scepter was passed on to the Medo-Persians, passed on then to Greece, and then on to the Romans, so that when we find Jesus there, the priesthood corrupted was passed on as well. But guess what? It's Israel's priesthood, but who do you think built the temple? The temple they were worshiping in was built by Herod. So all of this is to say that this whole idea of the ruler-priest, while that's God's idea, it was not carried out. So when Titus the Roman finally sacked Jerusalem, then the priesthood ended. But God's will, the king-priest, still exists. Now, that's the background I see. Now, man, by his own imagination, or maybe a lot of help from the demons, demonic forces, devised a lot of gods. You can't read the Old Testament without seeing that the nation Israel had gods all over the place. You would think that all that God did for them, they would never worship any other god. Time and time again, God did this and God did that, great miracles, and they refused to follow him. So they said little demons around. Of course, Paul says that these gods are not gods, they're demons. Demons behind the gods. So they were as far from the true God as heaven is from hell. Yet there were those who still worshiped the Most High God. And Melchizedek was one of them. He was the ruler and priest of the Most High God. Still there, a pocket of God's righteousness, of God's righteous rule was there in Melchizedek, and probably other places as well. But this one comes to fore in the New Testament. So, can you imagine the encouragement that it was for Abraham to find somebody who believed as he did? Now, here's the guy who worships this great God that I know, whose glory I saw in Ur of the Chaldees. Isn't that great? Well, that was such an encouragement. You ever go to a place when you're in a new place and you find people who believe the word, find people who say, oh, yeah, they are a grace church. They believe in the grace gospel. It just thrills your heart. You talk to somebody and say, where do you go to church? Well, what do they believe about the gospel? Oh, it's the grace gospel, faith alone in Christ. And you just kind of bubble up inside. Isn't that wonderful? And I think that's what Abraham must have felt when he got to the place and he saw, here's King Priest of the Most High God. Well, that was great. But then how about the pleasure of Melchizedek? He's found a devoted worshiper of this God right there in his own land. A family had moved in. Didn't have to go to his house and leave something on the doorknob. He came to him, came right to Melchizedek. And Melchizedek must have been pleasured at that. But who was this guy? Who is this Melchizedek? And what did he do? Well, that's what we're going to look at now. But I want to read that passage, Hebrews 7, 1 to 10. If you'd like to follow in your Bibles, you may. Hebrews 7, 1 to 10. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abram returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave tenth part of all, being first translated king of righteousness, then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now, consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are the sons of Levi, who received the priesthood, have commandment to receive tithes from the people, according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them receives tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Verse 7, very important. And beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here, mortal men receive tithes, but there, he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. That's where the writer of Hebrews comes, with that background, and with this application that he's going to make in it. But who was Melchizedek? Well, some people say he was a theophany. A theophany is simply an appearance of God. And if it's a theophany, I believe all theophanies are Christophanies. In other words, it's the second person of the Godhead who comes prior to his appearance in Bethlehem, and he appears to people all through the Old Testament. So this would be then, in that case, a Christophany. He was priest of the Most High God, verse 1 says. This Melchizedek was priest of the Most High God. He was king of righteousness. Melech, king, Tzedek, righteousness. His name by interpretation or by translation would be king of righteousness. He was king of peace. King of Salem, which is probably an earlier name for Jerusalem. Then he says something very strange. All this in verse 3. He was without father or mother. What? How can this be? He's without father or mother. And see, you can see how this idea lends itself to theophany. If he's without father or mother, it must be God. Without descendants, no children. Without beginning of days, and without end of life. How can that be anything but God? See? He still lives, according to verse 8. He still lives. And many scholars hold this view. It's not a bad view. Many people hold it. There's a second view. And guess which one I give last? So you'll remember the truth. And here it is. And like I say, this is not the only view, but it's my view. The second view is that he was an historical person. You read the scripture and it sounds just like, oh, he was a king. Abraham met him there in Jerusalem. There he was. You know, he's a man there on the regular king. There's no indication of anything else there. So, why do I say that? Why do I say he's a king priest? Well, first of all, theophanies, that is, appearances of God, usually indicate that it's God in the context. So here somebody appears to them like an angel of God or whatever, and at the end, if it's God, they'll say, oh, it's God. That's the usual thing. I say usual because I didn't trace down every one of them to find out if that's true in every case, but I think that's probably true. But I say usual just to be sure. Now, I've given you a couple of illustrations, three in fact. Genesis 18. Remember that Abraham was sitting at his gate and three men come down the road and it's three men. See, that's what you hear first, three men. And this is a time when God was going to do something with Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember that? Well, Abraham lifted up his eyes and behold, three men were standing by him. And then chapter 17, and I'm not going to go all into all that detail, except that they were going to talk about what we're going to do in Sodom. And in verse 17, same chapter, the Lord said to him, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? See? So again, there were three men. They appeared to Abraham right almost out of the blue, and then, but it was the Lord. And it says so. Right? Manoah. Manoah was Samson's father. Judges 13. And verse 13, so the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, all that I have said to the woman, let her be careful. Let her do it. That's the angel of the Lord. Well, that's an appearance of what? You know, is it an appearance of God or not? Well, in verse 22, and Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. See? God was there. And no indication that he was wrong. And then one more. Moses in the burning bush. The angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. Now, was that an appearance of God? Well, it says in verse 6, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's God. So here's an appearance of some kind of special thing, and it says in the context, it's God. There's nothing like that here in the passage we're talking about, and so I presume that it's not. Now, he had an earthly kingdom. He doesn't say, well, he was there, he was like a king priest, and he just came and went. No, it was a kingdom right there, right? Jerusalem. He had a city, he had a kingdom there, and he was the king of it, and he was also the priest. I think the most important consideration here is that he was made like the Son of God. Not that he was the Son of God, he was made like the Son of God. Does the Son of God have to be made like the Son of God? Doesn't seem so. He was made like that. Well, what do you mean? Well, no father or mother. And I think what he's saying is there are no father or mother recorded in the Old Testament, in that narrative. Levitical priests had to be of the tribe of Levi. It was very important who their father and mother was. And he says, this one, no father or mother recorded. Didn't matter. Also, no genealogy was recorded in the Old Testament. The only other priest in that line was Jesus. So we have Melchizedek, 2000 B.C., and then you have Jesus coming along, 2,000 years later, and he is the one, not a child of Melchizedek, but a follower in that line, the Melchizedekian line. In Levi, the sons were important. They had to have sons to go along because they had to be of the tribe of Levi. And my son is a tribe of Levi. He can be a priest after me. That's the idea. And then it says, no birth or death are recorded. Well, he didn't die. He still lives. I was going to preach at a church down south, down by the zoo. The church wasn't the zoo. I was listening to the radio, and the preacher was saying, Melchizedek didn't die. Now, we've never seen him here because he's living on some other planet. What? He's still living on some other planet. You know, that's a little bit strange. No, there's no record of his birth in the Old Testament. Now, if he's going to be made like the Son of God, then he can't have a beginning or an ending, see, in the Old Testament. He was born and he did die, but it's just not recorded in the Old Testament, so that the picture can be of the priesthood of Jesus, the king priest. Now, all of this is so that he could picture the Son of God. That's who he is. He is picturing the Son of God, not the Son of God. Now, that's who he is. What did he do? What did Melchizedek do? Well, these are the things that show that he's greater than Levi. Remember, that's his point. Jesus' founder is better than the founder of Levitical priesthood, who was Levi. Now, what did he do? Well, he received tithes from Abraham. Abraham paid tithes, paid him a tenth of the spoils that he had personally taken from the fight that he had had. Remember, five kings against four kings, and he got some booty from there, and he paid Melchizedek a tenth of the spoils. May I say something here? That does not mean that everybody did that in Abraham's day. Everybody tithed. No. Tithing is a part of the law. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. But Abraham did it. There's no indication Abraham ever did it again. And I think the only other person we find prior to the law who did it was Jacob. And he paid a tenth, wherever that was. But there's no indication that this was a thing to do prior to the law. It's a law thing, and we'll talk about that later. So he received tithes from Abraham. He also blessed Abraham. Melchizedek gave Abraham a blessing. What's a blessing? Well, bless. No, it's not quite that. He brings a blessing to the person. And that blessing comes from God, through him, to Abraham. Why is that important? Verse 7 says, the lesser is blessed by the better. Who is the lesser here? Abraham is lesser than Melchizedek. Melchizedek is greater than Abraham. So what's that have to do with anything? We're not talking about Abraham. We're talking about Levi. Talking about the Levitical priesthood. Well, hang on. He's going to get to that. But he's saying Melchizedek is better than Abraham because he blessed him. Another thing says he lives on. The Levitical priests died. They did not continue. It's a help. If you're living for 50, 60 years as a Hebrew, and there's the high priest, and you say, oh, that high priest is my high priest. It's like a pastor. Most pastors don't go this age. But it's nice to have a pastor in a church is there for 50 years. Criswell, he was there 90 years or whatever. Every time we go there, here's Pastor Criswell. He remembers, he's the one who was there when I was born, and he blessed my mother, and he helped her and visit her in the hospital. And then he married me, and all my kids were dedicated by him, and now my grandkids are in the same. That's neat. Well, the point here is that Melchizedek lives on. The priesthood goes on, and he's prefiguring the priesthood of Christ, who's a priest forever. See? Now, he's saying, these people died. All the priests died. You have a nice, you love this priest, and all of a sudden he's gone. Here comes another one. You know, maybe two or three in your lifetime. But he lives on. That's important, being better in that case. But he also tithed and blessed Levi. What? Levi lived 500 years after Melchizedek. How in the world can he bless and tithe Levi? Well, he goes on to tell us. See, Levi is the head of the Old Testament priesthood and lived, as I said, 500 years after Abraham. But, he says, Levi was in Abraham's loins when he met Melchizedek. See? Well, that means that he was born in the line of Melchizedek, and so he's in the loins of Abraham. Down, 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 down until we come to Levi, and he's from Abraham. So whatever Abraham did, he did. You might think about this in line of Adam, when Adam sinned. Why are we sinners? We were in the loins of Adam when he sinned. That's the idea. He sinned, and we came out of Adam, so we also sinned. And it's passed on. For all sinned. We sinned in Adam. Not that God put his sin on us. No. We were in him, and we sinned. That's the idea. Forget about that. We'll go back to Levi. Levi paid tithes in Abraham. Because he was in Abraham's loins when he met Melchizedek. Abraham was his ancestor, so what Abraham did, Levi did. So in a sense then, he says, Levi paid tithes and was blessed by Melchizedek. He's better. We have a high priest who is in a line whose founder is better than the founder of the Old Testament priesthood. You see where he's going? He wants us to know that there's nothing in that Old Testament that is better than Jesus. That's where he's going with this. And if you don't see every one of these in line, then you're going to miss something. See, Jesus' priesthood has a greater founder, is what he's saying, than the priesthood of Levi. Remember, these Hebrews were considering going back to Judaism. Go back there if you want to, but that's worse. It's not as good as what you have here. See? If you go back there, you're going to something less. So the writer set out to prove that Jesus is superior to anything in Judaism. Here is the subject of priesthood. Jesus' priesthood is a better priesthood. Now, Melchizedek is better than Levi, is what he's saying. So what does that have to do with me? I'm not going back to Judaism, so what's it to me? Well, let me tell you. First, we're tempted every day to go back to the old life. We're tempted every day. Go back to the world. Do you know what? There's nothing back there better than Jesus. It may sound great. People say, oh, look at all you have to do. You have to go to church on Sunday. I can lay out in the sun. I can sleep in. Some of you do. Going back to the world is not going to be better. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have the Lord to depend on, the Lord to serve. See? So don't go back there. That same message is to us. We have a built-in desire for legalism. Do you know that? We love rules. We love to put rules on people, and we love to have rules put on us. Just tell me what to do. That's what Israel did. Israel said, you give us all the rules, and we'll keep those rules. God said, okay, here are the rules. All that the Lord says we will do. And they didn't do any of it. Can't do that. Well, we love that. It's part of us. It's ingrained. I want to do something. I want to keep the law. And a lot of people do. A lot of people love the law. By the time you get out of this, you probably don't now, but before you get out of the book of Hebrews, you're going to say, forget the law. It's done. It's gone away. See? Well, you want to tithe? Well, go ahead and tithe if you want to. You can't please God with tithing. No. Giving. Give to the Lord. Not tithing. The Sabbath. The Sabbath is Saturday. Well, I'm going to keep the Sabbath on Sunday. Boy, how is that? I'm going to keep the seventh on one, on the first. No. Can't do that. We don't keep the Sabbath. The rules of the Sabbath do not apply. See? So it's not wrong to, well, what, I'm not going to do all that. But these rules that we put on Sunday because it's the Sabbath, totally wrong. As a kid, we could not play football on Sunday afternoon, especially if somebody else was there. Otherwise, we could slip back in the back and do as we pleased. There's no such thing. The law has been done away. We understand that. So the Sabbath, there's no longer a Sabbath. You don't put the Sabbath rules on Sunday. If you do, you have a Sabbath day's journey. You can't go any farther than that. And if you don't keep the Sabbath, guess what? God's going to smack your hand. No, he's going to kill you. If you don't keep the Sabbath, you die. So stop trying to keep the Sabbath. See, the law has been done away. And then another reason that this is important to us is we're lazy and selfish. You're lazy and selfish. How do I know? Because I am. Sure. It's ingrained. We work with it. The Lord works through us and helps us not to be that. But we are. That's inside of us. I have an idea. We ought to do this. Well, the rest of the church thinks we ought to do this. What are they doing? I'm go out of here. Because we're selfish. We're lazy. Don't want to get up. I don't want to do things. I don't want to come to a one. I don't want to come 24/7. I'm not going to do that. You know? Why? Because you're lazy. You're selfish. What I'm saying to you is that the Hebrews, they didn't want to do the Jesus way. They wanted to go back to what they liked. You know? Say, well, I know what I like. You know what you're really saying? I like what I know. I'm going back to what I know. Oh, I enjoyed that back there, so I'm going back to try it again. I hope that you do. And I hope that you get bit. Rises up and bites you. Because that's not where it's at. It's where Jesus is. There's nothing better in the world than what you have right here in Jesus. Now, Melchizedek is better than the Levitical priesthood. And we're going to keep on going with this. And we're going to find out that you have a choice to make. I'll give you this choice next week from the Word. The choice is this. Do you want Jesus as your high priest? Or do you want the law? You can't have both. Either you have the law or you have Jesus as your high priest. They are mutually exclusive. You can't have them. This is practical. Stay with it. Stay with the Word. And stay with Hebrews. We'll see what the Lord gives us in these next few weeks.